Gracious God, take our minds and think through them, take our hands and work through them, take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. I am one of those people who tends to get lost in the details. And so to balance from time to time, I have to remind myself to pull back and look at the big picture. Sometimes that's really helpful, and I can prioritize all of those details that I'm so obsessed with. And other times, when I pull back and look at that big picture, it's revelatory, showing me interesting patterns and the flow of the spirit through life. This week, I had a big picture moment. It was after writing my article for the Pathfinder, and while I was preparing to write this sermon. And it was this: the word that captures some essential essence of who we are at All Souls right now in this time is ready. Last week, the Reverend Michael Lemaire preached an outstanding sermon about the healing of Jairus' daughter and the woman with the hemorrhage. He offered the thought that when Jesus equated those healings with their faith, that what he meant is that they were open, they were ready for the power and movement of God in their lives. And while this was a part of the swirl of the thoughts in my brain, it's not consciously what led me to write a Pathfinder article this week in the newsletter about the importance of getting ready as we enter godly play classrooms, and how we as a parish are now getting ready to grow and expand our Sunday school program. No, the piece that pulled this all together for me, that made me pay attention to the way things were not just overlapping, but actually weaving together, were the questions that formed when I began reading, meditating on, and studying our gospel from Mark for today. What did it mean that those who arguably knew Jesus the best weren't ready for his wisdom, his power, and his healing? What did it mean that the disciples were ready to be sent, out to proclaim and to heal? Are we ready to be sent as well? And where are we to go and what are we to do? And there it was, over and over again, this word, ready. But what are we ready for? Jesus was ready to go home. After traveling throughout the region, preaching, teaching, healing, and doing works of great power, he returned to his hometown with his disciples. Upon arriving, he went to the synagogue and he taught. And many who heard him were astounded, we are told. Word must have traveled, and they must have come with some expectation. And yet it didn't take long for their astonishment to turn to skepticism. And not just skepticism, but we hear offense. Who was this Jesus, the son of Mary, the carpenter? I'm guessing this was not the homecoming that Jesus expected or hoped for. Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, among their own kin, and in their own house, is Jesus' response to their disbelief, for their lack of readiness. For that is what we could call it. They were unready to see the power of God in their midst. It seems as if there's often a correlation between proximity, that sense of closeness and knowing, and the lack of ability to really see, to really be ready to see something new. And so they rejected what their ears heard and what their eyes saw in Jesus. This rejection spurred something, though. For it is immediately after this that Jesus gathered the 12 and sent them out two by two, giving them authority over unclean spirits. He gave them instructions on what to bring and on what not to bring, and he prepared them for the rejection of their own. And then Mark tells us they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. It seems the disciples, so often the ones who just don't get it in this gospel, were finally ready. They were ready, they were sent, they proclaimed, and they healed. And so it was done. As if it were that simple. As if being ready and walking out your front door and setting a course for places unknown with nothing more than the clothes on your back and the conviction of your beliefs could actually change the world. Only Jesus gave them something a little more than that, didn't he? This wasn't some half-thought-through plan, a neat idea to see what might happen if his followers began to spread his message further. No, this was an incalculable step toward expanding the reach of God's justice, God's compassion, and God's reconciling love. Jesus had a strategy when he sent his friends out, one that was both missional and incarnational. The missional strategy, to have the disciples proclaim the kingdom of God, was evangelism in its best and purest form. It wasn't about bringing people in. It was about preaching the good news out in the world. It was a sharing, and it was an invitation. In a post on the Episcopal Relief and Development blog last year, the Reverend Luke Fodor offered thoughts on the idea of mission, and rightly pointed out that the words mission and missionary can conjure either negative images, such as colonialism, smallpox, and cultural imperialism, or they can offer romantic and simplistic ideas of exotic locales and pioneering work. But in the end, both such images distort the essential partnership inherent in true mission. Jesus knew this. He knew that increasing God's mission involved more than just the evangelical work of proclaiming the kingdom of God, no matter how important that is. And so the strategy he offered to those being sent was also incarnational. Incarnational because the evangelism wasn't about convincing people about a doctrine, a truth, a belief. It was about sharing their stories and then demonstrating in the flesh the truth that God's reign had come through the power of offering healing and restoration to those on the margins, to those in need. And not only offering healing, but doing just that. I love thinking what it might have actually been like on the travels of those disciples. How did they decide who was going to pair up with who? Did Jesus tell them? Did they draw numbers? Did they pick their bestie? What kinds of stories did they tell around the dinner table when they were meeting new people? Did they laugh? Did they argue? Were their hearts on fire with readiness? Missional and incarnational, evangelism and outreach. My question isn't whether we here at All Souls are ready, because we've been called and we've been sent by Jesus to proclaim and heal just as much as the disciples. No, I believe our hearts right now are on fire with readiness. So I go back to the question that I posed at the start of my sermon. What are we ready for? I believe today we're ready to feed a hot meal to all of those who show up this afternoon hungry. I believe this summer that we're ready to make space for the children that we have in our parish and those who will be welcomed here in the coming years as we grow our Sunday school and add a fourth class. A year ago, we were ready to call a new director for youth ministry. Last fall, we were ready to send our rector off on a sabbatical for 3 months, and to have that time here mean something too, so that when we met again, we would be able to look to the future together. And in April, the vestry was ready to make the decision to use the newly vacated first floor of the parish house for small groups, for meetings, for study and prayer, space that this parish, which is growing, is in so desperate need of. And looking ahead, we are ready to come together as a community to discern the movement of the Spirit among us and to create a vision statement that will help guide us toward our future. What will that vision be? The details of it are yet to be determined, but I believe in some form that it will be missional and incarnational, an aspiration of outreach and evangelism. It was Jesus' vision for the 12, and it is for us as well. We just have to be ready for it together. Amen.